Well, facing boiling anger from a devastated and protesting population, Lebanon's government has resigned, accused of gross negligence that led to last week's devastating port blast. First, one minister quit, then another, then the Prime Minister, Hassan Diab, made his announcement.
Now we refer to the people, to their demands that those responsible be held to account for this catastrophe that has been underway for 7 years, to their desire for real change from a government of corruption and malice, of brokers and theft, into a country with rule of law, justice and transparency. And so today I declare the resignation of this government.
But what comes next? Amidst hyperinflation, a collapsing financial system and widespread poverty, does a push for political reform now risk Lebanon's collapse? Basil Salouk co-authored The Politics of Sectarianism in Post-War Lebanon. He's a political science professor at the Lebanese American University. I asked him first if early elections are an option. Professor, I've heard you say that Lebanon has reached the end of an already dead political system. Is that what the resignation of the government today signifies?
It is one sign of the end of this political system. But I think the end of the political system is bigger than the resignation of this cabinet, the Diab cabinet. I mean, we have to remember the context in which the Diab cabinet was formed. This was a period immediately after the 17 October protests when people were demanding real changes in the political system. And a big part of the political elite decided that the best way to deal with these 17 October protests is to bring what may look like a technocratic cabinet with members from outside the usual political suspects, and in so doing, diffuse the momentum of the protests. So the Diab cabinet, in many ways, had long served its purpose, which is to diffuse the 17 October protests. The crisis inside the political system is far deeper than the Diab cabinet.
And Lebanon is gripped now by this culmination of multiple crises, but this huge crisis because of the port blast. Does this bring to a head those more fundamental issues around sectarianism and the basic structures of Lebanese politics?
It brings to the fore the fact that we are really at this intersection in our history. So as you said, I mean, before the explosion, Lebanon was crippled by overlapping economic, financial, fiscal, banking crisis. And the argument was, well, what kind of reforms can the Lebanese government undertake that would unlock help from the outside? With the explosion, in a sense, you have the sense of a knockout. And I think both the international community players have realized that enough is enough. And I think the visit by President Macron was in many ways an ultimatum for the political elite, all of them in Lebanon. And the idea is that either you commit to deep economic reforms and this way we can help you with aid, or this is the end of Lebanon.
And so what might occur now? There was talk of elections before the Prime Minister announced the resignation of the government. Are elections still a prospect?
I think the whole idea of early election is a maneuver. We have to put this in context. I mean, there are two struggles going on at the same time in Lebanon today. There is one inside the sectarian political establishment. And it is really those believe that early elections would allow them to win more seats in parliament. These are the ones asking for early elections. But the real revolutionary forces in the country, quote unquote, those who are the people who went down after 17 October, those who are demanding real reforms, believe that early elections is a trap, because what early elections do is that they allow the electoral machines of the existing sectarian political parties to mobilize their partisans. And we have yet to see the emergence of a coalition of opposition forces from outside the sectarian political spectrum to contest these elections. And this is why the emphasis is to try to use this moment of crisis and to try to use this international attention as a result of the devastating explosion on Lebanon to demand something bigger and better, which is a truly independent cabinet composed of technocrats, people with whom the IMF, the World Bank can work, not really doubles for members of the sectarian establishment, and to use this kind of cabinet with extra constitutional powers to push through the kind of reforms that the politicians in Lebanon, the sectarian politicians, have been resisting for a very long time, as late as the 3rd of August, because they know very well that these kind of reforms will undercut their political power base.
Now, faced with the visceral anger of the population and, as you say, Macron's ultimatum effectively, is this the moment when those interested parties can be blasted out of the system? I mean, one thinks of Hezbollah, for example. Unimaginable that they would change, surely.
Not blasted out. I think, you know, the structure of Lebanese politics, which kind of power-sharing system, suggests that if you try to blast out anyone, this is a recipe for civil war, and this is the last thing we want. And I think Macron was very clear that, you know, we want, moving forward, picking the pieces, putting the country back on its feet requires everybody's help, but not everybody simply from the sectarian political establishment, but also those voices, those forces that are demanding real change. However, the direction has to change. That is, there is no more time to maneuver, and no more time to try to say something national community and do something else, because our backs are to the wall. So I think what the international community is trying to do, and you see this in Macron's trip, and now the U.S. Official is coming to the country, is to tell the Lebanese politicians, enough is enough. You've destroyed your country. You've bankrupted your country. You're trying to take the Lebanese, a big chunk of the Lebanese, hostages in exchange for help. But enough is enough. You have to now commit to the kind of reforms that will allow us to help you, and in the process, allow those Lebanese who still believe in this country and in the future of this country to take part in this process, even if these reforms will undermine your power. There's simply no more wiggle room in this process. And I think Hezbollah is part of this, because they also know that they are cornered. Whether the geopolitical struggle going on today in the region or the economic crisis in Lebanon, I think Hezbollah also know that they really don't have much more room to maneuver.
Professor Basil Salouk, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Associate Professor Basil Salouk from the Lebanese American University, and a longer conversation will be at the PM webpage.